capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and we're here at the Thoroughbred Center out on the Paris Pike. And kind of cloudy right now. It was real clear, but pretty morning. Beautiful sunrise this morning. And we've had a busy morning. 82 workers this morning.
And well, that's enough to keep you busy.
That kept me busy.
Keep you out of trouble.
And we're having a pretty good month so far. In this month, 20 winners from the at various tracks from the Thoroughbred Center. And let's see, since last show, there's been 13. And the trainers out here saddle those 13 winners. Brian Michael, Matt Frazier, who took a quarter horse up to Hoosier and won with it. Bert Edwards, Jack Jones, Akiko Gothard, Jesse Caudle, Mark Hubley again. Two the same evening, as a matter of fact, down at Mountaineer. Mike Crowder, Robert Sturgeon, William F. Hamilton, that's Chuck Hamilton, everybody. Matt Frazier, who won another quarter horse race up at Indiana Downs. And last night at Mountaineer, Tommy Mills. As a matter of fact, we had 4 winners yesterday. One at River Downs, one at Hoosier, and 2 at Hoosier, and 1 at Mountaineer. So we're having a pretty good month already. Of course, last month we had 60 winners. Morning, Doc.
Hey.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing well.
Good. What are we doing today? Well, an old friend's going to stop by, Brian Van Steenberg.
Yeah.
I don't get to see Brian. I used to see him quite a bit because he used to get on horses for us out here. Brian's done about it all. He's a New Yorker, but we'll excuse him that. And he's trained, and he's galloped horses and gets on horses, and he still rides, as a matter of fact. He exercises all the Three Chimney Stallions.
Yes.
So he's been on Seattle Slough. You know,
well, that's great.
Big Brown, been on all those horses down there.
Well, you know, I think Seattle Slough thing started keeping these stallions a little more fit. I think the Taylors and Spenthrift started kind of that program.
Yeah,
is that right?
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
They need
to he gallops and been for a number of years now.
Like all men, they'll sit out there under the tree and eat. That's all they have to do. See, so you got to get somebody on them and move them around.
You know what she said to me? I did
something. Here it comes.
Here it comes. This is just the other night. I had done something stupid. We, to be brief about it, we've got two different accounts, checking accounts, and I put the wrong deposit in the wrong account, you know, and screwed everything up, you know, and I was moaning around.
He was whining and carrying on.
I says, God, that is stupid. Says, that is stupid. That is so stupid. It says, it's hell getting old. She says, Ursel, you've been doing stupid things all your life. Now you just got something to blame it on. Put me in my place real quick.
Yeah.
You got to keep them in line.
Dr. Doug Byers is here with us. Is Michael coming in this morning?
No, he's in Saratoga.
Still up in New York.
Well, he came home and then he went back up.
Yeah.
And so he said if we need to, we can get a hold of him by phone.
Sure.
But, he called me this morning and said he's goofing off chasing the most local beer he can find.
Oh, funny. That's great. That's super.
I was going to say.
I did hope you weren't going to say girls.
Well, anyway, we'll get in touch with Michael and also Steve Moody, who's with Brissy's. He's doing the Saratoga sheet up there now, so we'll see who he likes. And the Sword Dancer.
Ah.
Or as a good friend of mine used to say, Sword Dancer.
Sword Dancer, yeah.
And if I have time, I'll do something on Sword Dancer, because he was a pretty good racehorse, you know.
He was.
He was a horse of the year. He was a 3-year-old. He was by Sunglow, who stood over at Mirworth Farm. I don't think Sunglow sired much of anything else besides Sword Dancer, to tell you the truth. And Sword Dancer he wasn't a real top horse, but he got Damascus. And That'll do it.
Yeah, what a nice horse he was.
Oh.
Damascus. They lead him out on a rope shank.
Yeah.
Yes.
What a nice horse.
Some of those stallions over there that come in, you know, with the chains in their mouths, here come old Damascus walking down, plodding
like a pony.
With a rope shank,
horse.
Trailing along behind a groom. I want to say something about John Soosby, too, the passing away, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
John was a great guy and did so much for the city of Paris
and
Bourbon County.
Yeah. Well, he's an ambassador with the horse business, with the farm, with the city. He just fit.
Yeah, and all the 4-H work he did and all the kids stuff.
Yeah.
He just was wonderful.
It's he loved Claiborne, you know. I mean, he worked there for 50 years.
Right.
And that, you know, he would just talk, ask him about Claiborne, and he'd start telling about all the good horses he'd been associated with down through the years, you know. And he knew them all. And he was general manager the last 31 years he was there. Right. And you know, just a fine man.
He's a hands-on grassroots guy.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was on the show, was it last year when they had Secretary at Festival?
Yeah, I think we...
A year and a half ago, something like that.
Yeah, we've had him on a couple of times about him. Of course, he'd get to rolling on that, too.
Yeah, it was great to talk to.
Couldn't get him to talk about himself. He always wanted to talk about the horses.
Yeah.
That's fine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they had to have the viewing in the high school down there because the crowds were so big coming into it. Wow. They're telling me... Bill Dortz, who's from one of the EMSs here, the medics, he said that there you had to wait over, you know, over half an hour to even get into the place.
Wow.
People coming there to see. And while we're talking about our EMSs, I'm going to brag about Ashley Blankenship. There was a lady out here last week that had an aneurysm. And Ashley went over to take care of her, you know. Well, yesterday, there was another accident out here, which turned out to be not much of anything, but the same emergency crew came in from the fire department, and they said that Ashley had saved that woman's life.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
She did CPR, and they said without that, she was a goner. So
we got
good help, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it makes me feel pretty good up here.
every so often she takes Ursel's pulse.
Well, she starts circling the booth routinely, then you're going to get worried.
Yeah. Well, I'm real proud of her because she's
wonderful.
Really conscientious about her job, and she knew exactly what to
do and
did the right things, and they were serious, you know.
Yeah,
and of course, I said something to Ashley about it. She said, "Oh, I had plenty of help."
Yeah.
You know how that goes. Jackie, let's do an announcement and we'll get Doc on, okay?
Oh, you don't want to go ahead and talk
to
Doc?
Not the announcements. Let me do the commercials. You know those things that keep
us... Yeah, I know.
They keep
us
on
the
air.
Yeah. Right.
I spend all this time writing. I'm going to teach you how to do that one of these days. I'm getting too old to do this.
You mean you have to do the commercials? I'll tell you what, my father owned businesses when I was, you know, young. And I found out that they had to buy those things to sell people. I about died. I thought, well, this stinks. I thought it was really cool, you know, dollar here, dollar there, $5 here, $5 there. I thought, wow, this is easy.
Whew. All right. Well, last Saturday,
I was 21.
just a couple of years ago. Last Saturday, Louisiana Downs Trubs, a 3-year-old colt from the first crop by First Samurai, won the $100,000 Super Derby Prelude Stakes. And the next day at Saratoga, Tar Heel Mom, a daughter of Flatter, won the Grade 2 Honorable Miss Stakes. Trubs was bred and is owned by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dill Snyder. His win stamped him as probably the favorite for the upcoming Super Derby, one of them anyway. Winner earlier this year of the Black Gold Stakes at the Fairgrounds, he's one of 7 stakes horses, 4 stakes winners from the first crop of First Samurai, a list which includes graded stakes winners at Belmont and Saratoga. Tar Heel Mom, bred by Ups and Down Farms, won the Honorable Miss by nearly 6 lengths, boosting her earnings to over $788,000. And the day before at Saratoga, Flat Out, coming off a victory in the Grade 2 Suburban, finished 2nd in the Grade 1 Whitney. I got to time him out here. He trained out here at the Thoroughbred Center, you know, Flat Out did. And First Samurai, a Grade 1 stakes winner by Giant's Causeway, and Flatter, a son of AP Indy, both stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sam. See the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Services have been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Cowboy Cal's a graded stakes winner of over $1 million by champion sire Giants Causeway, who, incidentally, has climbed back up to number one on the general sire list. Giants Causeway is the sire of 106 stakes winners, 16 2000 stakes winners. He's leading 2011 sire stakes winners, as far as that goes. The most recent stakes winner is the undefeated two-year-old Creative Cause, winner last Sunday, the Grade 2 Best Pal Stakes at Del Mar. Cowboy Cal was also an excellent two-year-old. He sprinted a mile and won 34 flat to break his maiden at Belmont before winning the Laurel Futurity. Went on a three and won to win four. To win five graded stakes and a place in seven others. Six of those were graded, four of them grade one. The day he won the Grade 2 Oak Tree Mile, he got the distance 133 flat, so he had brilliant speed. Cowboy Cal is out of a daughter seeking the goal, and graded stakes winner Hot Novel, the dam of the grade one stakes in over $4,500,000. His first foals arrived this year, and if they run like they look, well, Cowboy Cal will be a top sire. He stands at Pin Oak Stud, home also of Bob and John, Broken Vow, Sky Classic. Inquiries at Clifford Berry, and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
I'm hitting them.
All righty. Well, Dr. Doug Byers here with me today. And, Doc, what are we talking about today?
Well, we were going to kind of go back over laminitis. I'm telling Jackie that a lot of times when I get to thinking about a topic, it's something I'm looking at, you know, the week before I come in. Right. And so
something founder on you?
A little founder horse I'm looking at, and I thought, well, we've talked about founder before, but, you know, we'll review it again. I thought I'd throw in a little question, though, and I was going to see if I could drag Ashley out here because of your comments about her CPR. She probably...
Amen. All right. Ashley, come in here a minute. Come here. She's coming. Come on, yeah.
Come on. I want to ask her how you would CPR a horse.
How would you CPR?
How would you CPR a horse?
Well, you know, times are tough and money's hard, and they left that chapter out of my book.
She'd try it, I tell you.
Right.
Well, we were bragging on you a minute ago on the air. We were telling them about you saving this lady's life over here.
It wasn't me. They had already started compressions by the time I got there.
Well, I guess that's the point we'd make about if a horse went down out here and you figured it was a cardiac issue. What would you do? They're just so big.
Usually, Doc, when that happens, they're dead when they hit the ground, just about.
Most of them. You know, you can resuscitate. We resuscitate a lot of foals.
Do you?
Because they're small. And I think that's the factor that Ashley would compare, is that with a human, you can do compressions, which is now what they are.
Is that what you did for this lady over there, compressions and stuff like that? Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it worked. I told Frank about it this morning. Were you here when I told him? No.
I believe I was.
Okay. Well, we're all real proud of you. I said, I feel a whole lot secure about being here now since you're around.
Well, you know, again, compression, pretty much not breathing mouth-to-mouth much anymore, I guess, in humans.
That's compressions, right.
And that's what you do. Well, you know, you couldn't mouth-to-mouth a horse. There's no question about that. Compressions with a big horse that went down, you're right. I mean, most of them are dead because of whatever put them down there. But, oh, you jump on their chest, you take your knee, and you'll thump as fast as you can over the heart region. We probably ought to be pushing more on the whole chest.
Actually, the next time one goes down like that, I want you to know what I try to do this. That's not in your job description, is it?
It's a bonus.
Okay.
There was a recent online internal medicine kind of dialogue that they go, all these people get to chatting. And when it comes to chest compressions in the horse, in the adult horse, there were a lot of people saying it's a waste of time, waste of time. But there were a couple that chimed in and said, no, you know, once in a while, one kind of revive. And I've had adult horses revive that have, but really with a horse that's having a cardiac issue or an arrest and they're going down and they're going to die, it's more drugs. And so to get the epinephrine and get those things to stimulate the heart, if you can figure out what's really going on. And so the drugs are important, but if you put it in the vein, it doesn't have anywhere to go if the heart isn't pumping. So there's controversy about sticking the epinephrine and different drugs directly into the heart, which is, I've done that as well. And you get them to revive maybe for a little while, but it's hard to sustain it, return them to life. But once in a while, you get just enough encouragement that you're going to try everything you can. So,
did you check on this lady's condition now? Did Frank tell you how she was doing?
They said she's doing well.
Good.
She's every day she's doing a little bit better. Mm-hmm.
She had an aneurysm, right? Yeah. Wow.
Wow. And those are about like the horse. They don't come around very frequently.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Tough.
Isn't that great, though? I mean,
yeah, that's super. We're proud of her. We get her a bunch of big gold stars to put on her forehead.
Okay.
She's a star without having them on her forehead.
Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, if we want to talk about laminitis, I guess we'll get on to a veterinary topic.
Okay. Like thanks, said, Ashley. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ashley. Got to get this comparative medicine in once in a while. Human to horses. Well, we all know foundered horses, and the old saying, you take people, you're eating too much, you're going to founder. Well, that comes from the horses.
But, Gracie, would you have those donuts over there?
But the point with us is that if we do get an indigestion or we have a reaction or something like that, we can rest and go to bed and be fine. Where they got to walk on those feet when they founder, they're stuck.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so
circulation's bad.
Everything kind of goes things. So, you know, and we've talked about before in the old days, the cavalry recognized, drag those horses, and get them into a stream, and leave them in a stream. And if they didn't get better, well then you put them down.
Yeah.
And so. Cold water was recognized, and that's now what goes around comes around. Icing these horses has become an important first line of defense. And we abandoned icing these horses a long time ago, thinking that was the wrong thing to do because their circulation is poor. And when you ice something, you constrict the vessels, and we want the blood to flow through those vessels. We want them to be as big as they can be. Well, a guy named Pollard out of Australia has pointed out that that's fine, but the blood that's going through those vessels is what's toxic and has caused him to founder in the first place. So we don't want more of that. We want to have it strategically a flow situation that is strategic where he can have a chance of healing.
Yeah.
And, of course, as long as he's up on those feet, he's insulting it. Again, I always use somewhat the analogy that when a horse founders, it's like you hitting your finger with a hammer. And if you hit it hard enough, it's going to take 30 days before you can find out if you're going to lose your fingernail.
Yeah.
And so it's the same for them. But again, you don't walk on your finger. They do. So every bit of insult stays the same, to some degree. So what causes it? We know a lot of the causes, and we mentioned the cavalry horses. Well, some of it was just road founder, just pounding those feet so hard that it would kind of cross a line, and then the feet would become inflamed, and they'd be foundered. Mm-hmm. We know a lot about diet now, and we know a lot about sugars, which is changing in the last few years, where we know the grass is changing sugars, and horses that are prone to have grass founder will do it every year at that time frame. So you can actually put them out on grass at later stages, and they won't have the same insult. We recognize the obesity factor that goes with those sugars and with those grasses, just too much weight, and that's a form of maybe you say, well, it's kind of a road founder. It is weight distribution, but we know the sugars go through there, and the sugars are different, and there's a glucose, they put a number on it, glucose 4, that actually irritates the blood vessel lining. And it's a lot like diabetic people, where the sugars provide kind of an intermittent but constant insult, and a lot of diabetics wind up having to have their toes or their foot or their leg amputated because it becomes gangrenous. And again, it's a lack of blood flow. So go back to that hammer hitting your fingernail.
Yeah.
You know, it and the big word for that one, I know you love the big words, is ischemia, which is lacking blood flow. And if you take and cut into these hooves of horses and look at them under microscopes for histology, you can see the thrombi, where they actually have clots in there just like their foot is having a stroke. And so restoring that blood flow, restoring the nutrition so those cells can heal is very important. Now, there's different kinds of founder. We know we get endotoxic or toxic founder, which is kind of an enigma, too, because if you give endotoxins intravenously to experimental horses, they don't necessarily founder. It's hard to reproduce it with endotoxins, but we find endotoxins in the bloodstream of natural or nature-incited laminitis. They study it. Actually, a guy named Obel, O-B-E-L, back in the 40s and 50s, was the first guy to make an association with diet, so he tubed horses with starch and founded them. And so he knew that there was a dietary or gastrointestinal insult, and we said we had road founder, we mentioned that, but actually 60-plus percent of the cases of laminitis come from the gut. So the horse colics or he gets diarrhea, and you have that threat looming higher because of that. Anyway, Obel graded horses 1 to 4, and we still grade them the same way as he did. A grade 1 is a horse that comes out of the stall, and he's a little tender, but he walks sound on the straightaway, but he kind of on eggshells when you make the turn. So you can see him camp back or throw his shift his weight. Grade 2 would be he's lame at the walk, even on the straightaway. You can see it. Grade 3, you go to pick up one of those feet, and you have a tough time picking it up. In grade 4, he's just nailed to the ground. He can't move. So we appreciate when you get a laminitis, you do want to treat them quickly. So the ongoing damage is basically going to be controlled. We'll go back to the hammer analogy. If you hit your finger and you iced it real quickly and you did all the things you should do, you might save that fingernail. But the other thing is how hard it got hit depends on that kind of insult. Was it endotoxic? Was it a grass? Was it road trauma? What was it? You know, so, and then we know weight bearing has a lot to do with it because you take a horse like Barbaro, you got 10 months that you're scared to death that he's going to founder on the good leg.
Right.
And that's what got him. It took 10 months. So when you have what we call cell death that is programmed by the body, it's called apoptosis. And that means those cells are programmed to die. So you have to find a way to reverse that programming or get there before additional cells get programmed. So it's a constant effort to deal with those horses. When you examine your horse, so you bring him out of stall and you're looking at him and say, boy, he looks like he's foundered. Does he have a digital pulse? Well, most of them do. You know, they're not foolproof, but most of them, 90% of them will have a pounding digital pulse when you put your hand down on the pasture and feel the back of the heel. Does he have leg edema? That's really important because if he's got leg edema, especially the edema that goes down around the coronary band, then he might become a sinker, what we call a sinker. And the difference between types of founder if we take the old traditional, we see on the x-rays that the coffin bone has rotated and it wants to come through the bottom of the foot.
Yeah.
That horse actually is better off than a horse who's a sinker who has lost the whole attachment along the lamina, but yeah. It goes right up to the coronary band. So it's like you getting hit with that hammer, but it got your cuticle. So that foot may come off from that standpoint. So it's a disease entity or a syndrome that we know a lot about. We've learned a tremendous amount.
Just don't know how to cure it.
We just don't know. We can take it from the laboratory and we can explain all these things on blackboards, but when we get out there to the stall, we are intimidated, and the profession is intimidated. Never can take laminized for granted in any case, but so are the horsemen. You know, it's something that you just say, well, now are we going to make it?
Yeah.
And some of them, if they're a sinker, and let's say it's happened that they had some diarrhea and then they foundered, and you can put your hand on the coronary band and you can feel a depression. And what's happening there is the hoof, he's sunk. Where he's not rotating, he doesn't have any attachment up there by coronary band. So his weight is pushing his bones in the opposite direction. So you can feel that. Sometimes you can even see serum on your finger when you pull it away. Well, his chances are so, so poor to make But again, there's a lot of good research going on, but we just can't. It's like anything with research. It's slow, difficult.
Yeah. And like trying to cure cancer, I guess.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it just. Wow. But there's something. Now, there's stem cells. There's a new one out there trying to get stem cells to work in the hoof. Yeah. And the problem there is that if it's a severe thing, you know you're going to try stem cells. If you have the money and you're going to make the effort to regenerate that hoof or that fingernail. But if it's so necrotic and dead in there with all the apoptosis going on, then the fresh cells you put in there don't have a source to survive off of either. So it's a judgment call.
Yeah. All right.
Bad topic, but
it's
reality.
Yeah. All right. Well, I better pay a bill here.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
We'll
Doc,
see you next
thanks.
Week.
Appreciate it. Well, Empire Maker, a proven sire of Grade 1 stakes winners, is by Unbridled out of Troussard by El Gran Señor. Closely related to Empire Maker is the young Grade 1 stakes winner, First Defense. First Defense is by Unbridled Song, a son of Unbridled, out of Empire Maker's half-sister, Honest Lady, by Seattle Slough. Honest Lady, herself a Grade 1 stakes winner of over $894,000, is also a half-sister to yet another top sire, Chester House. Like Empire Maker, or a proven sire of Grade 1 stakes winners. First Defense won a Grade 1 Fogo, sprinting 7 furlongs and won 22-2. He also sprinted 7 furlongs in a blazing 120 and 4 at Belmont, and won 22-1 at Churchill Downs, and 6 furlongs and 109 to take the Grade 3 Jiper, and he won the Long Branch Breeders' Cup Stakes around 2 turns. He was fast, versatile, he has a great pedigree. A sire pedigree, and his first foal's a yearling, so look him over closely. First Defense stands at Judmont Farm with Mizzen Mass, another proven sire of Grade 1 stakes winners. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, August 4 at Saratoga, the Birdstone Stakes is won by Rule, a 4-year-old colt bred and owned by Windstar Farm. 2 days earlier in France, Americaine, a 6-year-old bred by Wertheimer and Freer, won stakes there. Fold and raised at Haggett Farm, Americaine, earlier in his career, won the coveted Melbourne Cup, plus group stakes in France. Now, both Rule and Americaine were raised on products produced by Macaulay Brothers, the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. The list of major stakes winners raised on Macaulay Brothers products grows weekly and includes both the 2010 Horse of the Year in the USA, Zenyatta, and the 2010 Horse of the Year in Canada, Biofuel. So congratulations to Windstar Farm and Haggard Farm, two valued customers. If you'd like to learn more about Macaulay products, check the website at MacaulayBros.com. Contact Steve Baker or Mike Warren at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. You're always welcome. Macaulay Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, Noble Causeway is the sire of a stakes-winning two-year-old in his first crop to race. Private Call shipped in from Calder to take the $50,000 Cleveland Kindergarten Stakes on August 6th. She's a third winner from the first crop by Noble Causeway. His Lord Chelsea, after placing in his first start at Aqueduct, won his second, posting an impressive win in a maiden special at Monmouth Park. And Forever Noble is first and a second at Delaware. Two others have placed, and there are more runners by Noble Causeway on the way. Grade 1 performer Noble Causeway is by champion sire Giants Causeway out of Mimi's Golden Girl, a daughter of Seeking the Gold and Classy Kathy, winner of the Grade 1 Alabama, the Grade 1 Ashland, and the Grade 1 Gazelle. A grand individual, Noble Causeway was a $1 million sales yearling, and he's siring good-looking foals that are likely to walk two turns. Noble Causeway stands at Crestwood Farm. Your inspection's invited. For more information, get in touch with Pope McLean and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. Hey, Jackie, you want
me?
Yeah.
Well,
I have to start this, don't I?
Kentucky Thoroughbred Association.
All right, this is a list.
This is from the Kentucky
Thoroughbred Association, my good friend David Schweitzer. These are Kentucky Bred Stakes winners last week. The Grade 1 Bing Crosby, Del Mar, of course. Euro Ears won that, bred by Gary and Bonnie Peterson. The Grade 2 Jim Dandy at Saratoga, Stay Thirsty, bred by John and John Garen Gunther. The Grade 2 San Diego Handicap, Trey Barachos, bred by Robert Shapiro, John J. Greeley IV, and Phil Hutchins. The Grade 2 Lake George Stakes at Saratoga went to Winter Memories, bred by the Phillips Racing Partnership. The Grade 2 Four-Star Dave Handicap, Sydney's Candy, bred by Jenny and Sydney Craig. The Grade 3 Cougar the Second Handicap at Del Mar, Bourbon Bay won that, bred by Adina Springs. The Regret Stakes at Monmouth, Magical Feeling, Peter Blum, the breeder. The Teddy Drone Stakes at Monmouth, Force Freeze, bred by Dixiana Stables. The Jersey Derby at Monmouth, Breathless Storm, bred by Manganero Stables. Majestic Light Stakes at Monmouth, Soaring Empire, bred by Emery Hamilton. The Dolphin Miss Stakes at Penn National went to Salary Drive. That's a mizzen mast, bred by Joel Kligman. The Jenny Wade Handicap at Penn National went to Inspired, bred by Peter Blum. Red Carpet Stakes at Penn National, Apple Charlotte, bred by Jack Swain. The Femme Fatale Stakes at Penn National, Jealous Girl won that, bred by the Everest Stables. The Capital City Stakes at Penn National, Lively Jay, or is that Joy? Lively Joy, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. The Wicker Stakes at Del Mar went to Calamondi, 179th Stakes winner, bred by Pam and Martin Weigard. I can't read my own writing. That goes without saying, I guess. The Hattie Mosley Stakes at Saratoga went to My Red Bird, trained by Swettenham. The Quick Call Stakes at Saratoga, Great Mills, that's a war front, bred by Millennium Farms. The Lady Canterbury Stakes, she's adorable, bred by Philip Moss. The Cramp It Up Stakes at Monmouth, Tiger Cat Lily won that. That's the 79th Stakes winner by Taylor the Cat, bred by Crescan. The Three Ring Stakes at Calder, a Battle of Love, bred by Liberation Farm and Stonewall Farm. The Luther Burbank Handicap at Santa Rosa, Victory a Secret, bred by Normandy Farm. And the Group 3 Lily Langtree Stakes at Goodwood went to Mizna, bred by Swettenham Stud. Ooh, that's a long list.
Long list of Kentucky breds.
It sure is.
Yeah, okay. Turfway Park has reinstated the Kentucky Cup thanks to Windstar. Our friends at Windstar put up the bucks. So they are going to have the Grade 2 200,000 Classic for three-year-olds and up. And that will be September 24th at Turfway. And after the Classic, all the other races, there's four other for 100,000 Distaff, Sprint, Juvenile, and Juvenile Fillies. So many thanks to Windstar. And if you kind of want to join the Windstar, this is kind of nice for just race fans. You can go to WindstarStableMates.com and join it. And you get all kind of the games and contests. It's a lot of fun, you know, if you like to follow the sport. And you can get on their farm cameras, and they click around. You can see what's going on the farm, in the barns, and everything. It's really, really kind of fun. So go to WindstarStableMates.com. That's really a clever idea, I think.
Either way.
Okay. Horse Park. Today is the weekend of the 13th United States Equestrian Federation Pony Finals. Next weekend is the Bluegrass Festival Hunter Jumper Show. And the following week, United States Hunter Jumper Association International Hunter Derby Finals. Now, there's all sorts of stuff that goes on. You just kind of, if you log on to the website, KentuckyHorseParkCom, I think it's .org, I can't remember, but all you have to do is Google it and you'll find it. Pony Club Finals go through tomorrow, and the Bluegrass Hunter Show, Hunter Jumper Show, starts Wednesday through the following Sundays. And, of course, there's polo all the time. And if you like dog shows, there's a dog show coming up, so pay attention to that one. Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club, of course, does not have a meeting in August. Everybody goes to Saratoga.
Everybody but us.
Everybody but us. However, there will be the Sporting Clays Classic at the Elk Creek Hunt Club Saturday, August the 27th. What's that? 2 weeks from today. That's up in Owen County. I see, it's a really nice place. You can do teams and however you want to do it. They're going to shoot all morning, start at 9 and get down about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and have a nice lunch and prizes and so on. As I said, it's in Owenton, Kentucky. So if you're interested, the farm manager's phone number is 948-7321. That's 948-7321. You know, I was out at Edina Springs yesterday. They were nice enough. They got a nice guy named David Williams that helped me with my computer and stuff. And while I was waiting for him, I met a girl there. Of course, her name slipped my mind. She used to help out a lot with farm managers, so that was kind of fun talking to her, too. She did quite a bit. So anyway, Sporting Clays is coming up August 27th.
Interrupt your second.
Go ahead.
Well, Candy Stripes is the sire of Eclipse Award winner Leroy DeSantimo, winner of this year's Kentucky Derby. He is the sire of the winner of this year's Kentucky. Let me start that all over again. Candy Stripes is the sire of Eclipse Award winner Leroy DeSantimo, who is the sire of the winner of this year's Kentucky Derby. He is also the broodmare sire of the successful and popular young sire Candy Ride. He's the sire of Eclipse Award winner Invasor, undefeated at 2, champion 3-year-old and horse of the year at 3, champion 4-year-old and undefeated in the United States at 4, champion older male and undefeated at 5, ranked number 1 in the world at 4, ranked number 1 in the world at the time of his retirement at 5. Now, Invasor won 9 grade 1 stakes, including 2 of the world's most coveted tests, the Breeders' Cup Classic, the Dubai World Cup. Retired with earnings of $7,894,070. Did everything he was asked of him, and he was described as the best older horse to race in this country since Spectacular Bid. Invasor stands at Shadwell Farm. For more information about the Shadwell Stallions, check the website at shadwellfarm.com. Or get in touch with the stallion manager, Kent Barnes, 224-4585.
Okay, and guess what's the best tech shop leather goods store in central Kentucky? That would be Quillen Leather and Tack in Paris. They are world-renowned for their halters.
Over 17,000 halters a year they sell and ship a lot of them overseas.
I bet about 15,000 are coming up for the fall sales.
No, this sale's not that big this year.
They're busy, busy. But
hey,
that they do.
Actually, there's that guy looking for his whip out there. See him? Tell him. I laid it right over there. Did somebody take it?
It was ever behind Russie.
I thought I laid it outside.
Well, anyway, that guy's going to need a new whip. And where would he go for a new whip?
We got it.
Or to repair that crummy-looking thing. Looks all busted up.
Yeah.
Seems to me like he needs to go to Quillen leather and tack.
Get a new whip.
To get his whip fixed or get a new whip. And
yeah, he was right in front of the clocker stand and dropped his whip and said, oh, dirty
Phooey.
Word.
Yeah. Oh, daggone it. Yeah, yeah, I've heard him say that a lot. Oh, dash.
So we asked him if that was the horse's name, but he was gone by that time.
Right. But anyway, he needs to take his whip and whatever else he needs fixing over to Quillen Leather and Tack in Paris, Kentucky. It's right straight in
he
Paris.
He needs to
and
fix his
line.
Whip is what he needs to fix.
I'm really trying to get through this.
Okay.
You just keep interrupting me. Sit there and hush. Now, Ralph Quillen. Hey, do Facebook with Ralph Quillen. He's fun. He talks about a lot of interesting thing in Paris. Anyway, you've got to go visit the store. They have tours stopping at that place because it's such great gift shop, fun people. And if you like cats, they've got three or four cats.
Well, tell them where they are, Jackie.
I said, before I was interrupted, they're the third light straight into Paris. Their phone number, local phone number is 987-0215 or go to www.quillen.com.
Are you through?
Well, it's amazing that I got through. You kept blabbering.
Well, I had to find that guy's whip for him. Harlan's Holiday was represented by his 10th 2011 stakes winner last Saturday when the three-year-old filly, Someplace Else, won the $75,000 Hours Breeders' Oaks. Someplace Else she's a typical Harlan's Holiday. After breaking her maiden in impressive fashion at Oaklawn Park, she's compiled a record of 4 wins in 4 seconds and 8 starts. Her win follows closely the score of Wilcox Inn, a 3-year-old Copa Harlan's Holiday, in the Grade 2 $200,000 American Derby. He goes today in a big stake up at, in the Secretariat stakes up at Arlington Park. Anyway, Wilcox Inn has also won the Arlington Classic this year, and he placed in the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity and the Grade 2 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf last year. A proven Grade 1 sire, in fact, he sired 8 Grade 1 stakes horses. Harlan's Holiday has a bright future. He was the sire of 109 foals in 2009, 121 in 2010, and he covered 162 mares last year. So, the best is yet to come. Harlan's Holiday at Windstar Farm. Inquiries with Robert Hammond. See the website, windstarfarm.com. All right, back to you.
I got 5 minutes till the next break.
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Okay, today is Saturday, August 13th. It's the Daily Racing Form NTRA National Handicapping Championship. This one's free. And you win a place, I think, in the big hoopty-la in Las Vegas in January where you get to go and really, really do a lot of handicapping and possibly win a lot of money. What you do is go to games.ntra.com and log on. You better be quick about it because it's already 10:45 on the day of the big handicapping contest. Northern Kentucky Horse Center Hunter Jumper Show is up at Verona. Verona, Kentucky is right up the interstate.
Which interstate?
75. Okay. Up. It's the only one that goes up.
Oh, I thought it was flat, but go ahead.
No. I've drug that place. That horse trailer going up there, ain't nothing flat about it. Anyway, it's Wednesday. It's August 27th and 28th, Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock. And the reason I'm mentioning this is a part of the series of horse shows that you gain points. And at the end of the year, they have a big banquet and kids and participants. Horses get points, too. And one of their sponsors and all is Macaulay Brothers. So Sunday, the Jumper Challenge is $150 Macaulay Brothers Jumper Challenge. So
they give back to the industry. They do.
Yes, they do. It's Bluegrass EQ for equine. BluegrassEQ.org. Let's see what else I got going. I always mention this. September 24th is the 50th anniversary celebration at Pleasant Hill. That's down at Shakertown, and they're going to have dinner and dancing under the stars. So, If you want to find out more about this, it's really going to be very nice. They're all expecting a big crowd. They're going to have a trail run. Then they're going to have a harvest fest. This is the weekend of 24th, 25th, Sunday afternoon, family bike and barbecue. So they got an 800 number, which is the best way to get a hold of them, 734-5611. In fact, today they're having a garden side supper down there. If you're interested, you need to get a hold of them. As always, Central Kentucky Riding for Hope is always looking for nice horses for all the kids around. Also, stopped in yesterday at Midway, said hello to my friend Peggy Manis, wonderful photographer, especially dogs and horses. And she's got a, what she calls a hunt box over there. A lot of new, slightly used boots and hunt appointments. Really nice stuff. Her number is 846-9343. She's in there Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 5. Stop in and say hello.
All righty, well, Tisway, winner last Saturday of the historic Grade 1 $750,000 Whitney Stakes, is to stay in the 2012 season at Spendthrift Farm. His victory in the Whitney followed a stunning performance in the Grade 1 Metropolitan, in which he sprinted a mile in a sensational 1:32.4, and he's now considered as to be the nation's number one ranked older horse. Tisway will be the second graded stakes winner by Hall of Famer and leading sire Tis Now to enter stud at Spendthrift Farm. There he will join the fleet Tis Wonderful. Tis Wonderful was precocious, winning the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes and the Grade 3 Iroquois Stakes, both at Churchill Downs, to remain undefeated as a two-year-old. The first foals by Tis Wonderful are yearlings, and they've been in demand, selling for $130,000, $85,000, $85,000, $80,000 at the Fasey Tipton July sales. Two other Grade 1 stakes winners, Arch, 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 and Patio Prado, are to stand their first seasons at Spendthrift Farm next year. For more information about the Spendthrift Farm stallions, get in touch with Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Fell or Ned Toffee. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. All right, I want to talk about my good friend Ron Wallace. Ron, in 1995, formed a new company after he'd been spent some 15 years of management and experience at farms like Judd Mont and Three Chimneys. So he's got a great background, college graduate, got a he's published papers, a smart guy. Anyway, but he established Equine Farm Management, which is his motto is to help farm owners enjoy their horse farms. And he can select from pre-qualified and appropriate contract labor for you. He can lay out your farm just the right way, take care of your payroll, do many things. You know, oversight of farm construction, property maintenance, day-to-day farm management, and he can manage it for you. But he can set it up where it was absolutely, you can move right in and work and do things perfectly. It's Equine Farm Management, and you need to call Ron and talk to him about it, or look over his website. His website is equinefarmmanagement.com, and his telephone number is 621-1655. That's his cell number, 621-1655. That's Ron Wallace. He's done business with a lot of top farms, both here and around the country. People like Hurricane Hills and Hopewell and Forging Oaks in this country, a Live Oak Stud down in Florida, Paladese Investments up in New York. So, you know, first-class work. Take a look at some of his work, and he's got some of it on his website. So, and that once again, that website is equinefarmmanagement.com. Be right with you.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather is clear, can do, can do.
Where'd Jackie disappear to? Oh, never mind, huh? Michael, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good, good. How are things at Saratoga?
Oh, it's been beautiful up here. The weather's been beautiful, Ursula. Everybody's been great. I was just talking to David Donk, a Wads trainer. He just stopped by. We're actually on the backside here at the Fasig Tipton's sale pavilion, looking at some horses and watching people go by. Yep. It's So David came by, and David, it's a special day because, of course, David trained a lot, a horse we just lost recently.
Yeah.
And he, today's his day because, you know, he won the Arlington Million and set the track record, and he won the Sword Dancer and set the track record, and still holds both track records. And so it's a Wad's day, so it's nice to see David and his wife Faye here this morning.
They run in both those races today, the Arlington Million.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, well, no, you're at the wrong track.
I was
trying to find out who won the old timers race up at Arlington yesterday, and I haven't been able to find it out.
I don't know. We'll have to find out. We'll go on the computer and find out. Rusty can find out, can't he?
I know, Rusty. Can you find out? Well,
Rusty can find anything out.
Well, we can't. The computer's in use right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, it's recording you.
Uh-oh. That's a bad trade.
Yeah.
But everything's going good. Jack Knowlton, of course, of Saratoga Stable, who owned and raced Funnyside to his Derby win, and Funnyside is now enjoying his life over at the horse park. Well, Jack Knowlton and I came up with this idea, and he's really going after it. And what the idea is that for every horse Saratoga buys, every yearling they buy at the yearling sale here, they're going to donate $10,000 to old friends toward that horse's retirement.
That's wonderful.
Let's hope he buys about 30. What do you think?
Yeah. go encourage him. Bid for him.
Yeah, exactly. But everybody's been great. You know, we had a press conference the other day to announce this, and Dan Pride let us use the Fasig Tipton facility to make the announcement. And we're working on putting together a deal for the Says Who Thoroughbred Farm up here, so we'll have more space and more horses and
everything. Is this in addition to the farm that's already up there, or just more?
Yeah.
Land? Yeah. Oh, okay,
yeah.
Good. Well, good luck, my friend.
Yeah. Thank you, Russ. We've had a really good time, but I can't wait to come home. Actually, half of our supporters are up here anyway. I ran into Tracy and Carol Farmer in the Oxleys the other night at the Wishing Well, and Nick Nicholson was there with half the jockey club. So it's a movable feast.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Hey, there's another Derby winner going to the horse park, by the way.
Yes, I know. I saw him the other day. He was being quarantined. That's really nice. I'm so glad. Go for gin.
We've got a, at home, we've got a Go for Gin rescue.
Wow.
Yeah. An old horse that went about $165,000. That Jack and I got him out of River Dams.
What's his name?
Ursel. Hallucigen, I believe it is. We call him Major Hill. We never call him something like that. You know.
Yeah, right. You call him, hey, you.
Yeah. Now, he was a 7-year-old stud when we got him. And, of course, we had to give him an attitude adjustment. So,
sure.
So now he's a 15-year-old gelding.
Wow.
So.
And enjoying his life.
Yeah, the little son of a gun's not very grateful, though. You know, he's
What can you do?
Well,
I ran into Dave Rodman yesterday. He's an awfully nice guy. He does all the race calls down in Maryland.
Uh huh.
You know, he's up here, and it's just been it's been a delightful meet.
How's the weather been?
If I could cash a ticket, it would be better. But the weather's been fabulous. I hear the weather's improved down there considerably as well.
Oh, yeah. In fact, it went down in the 60s the last two nights. Last three nights, you know. We forget how chilly it was earlier. You know, the month of June, it was real chilly here in Lexington, you know.
True.
Yeah. And then we had that hot streak, but now it's gone back again. So I was out here in the clocker stand this morning, sitting here I had to put a sweater on.
That's what we like to hear.
Yeah, we had some Saratoga weather, too. A little bit of fog and, you know, it was a beautiful sunrise and it's great to be in Kentucky. When are you coming back?
We're going to be leaving tomorrow morning, and we'll be back on Monday.
Oh, good. So you'll be here living and living color next week.
Yes, sir, and I can't wait.
Okay. Well, be careful. I know you drive. So
I will, Ursel. Thank you very much. It's great to see you. I can't wait to get home.
Yeah, good. Be careful, my friend.
All right, Ursel. Thanks so much, buddy.
Oh, okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, Turbulent Descent, winner of the Grade 1 Test Stakes, is a 3-year-old filly from the first crop by Congrats, last year's leading freshman sire. Congrats stands at Vinery, Kentucky. Running second was Pomeroy's Pistol, a two-year-old stakes winner, a grade two stakes winner, I should say, by Pomeroy, who stands at Vinery, Florida. Turbulent Descent has won six of her eight starts, four graded stakes, including three grade one stakes, and has finished second twice, both times in grade one stakes. She's undefeated around one term and is a leading candidate for the Breeders' Cup Fillies and Mare Sprint. In other stakes, the Sonny's Halo at Louisiana Downs was won by Tequila Factor, a two-year-old filly. She's by Pure Prize. She's the 28th stakes winner by Pure Prize, who stands at Vinery, Kentucky. Kentucky, Florida, New York, Vinery has world-class facilities to care for all your equine needs. Just get in touch with John Gasper or Steve Castanola, or Francis Rillihan or Grant Williamson. The number at Vinery here in Kentucky is 455-9388, and see the website at vinery.com.
When Jack and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, August 3 at Del Mar, Sunny Superstition, a two-year-old colt from the first crop by Stevie Wonderboy, broke his maiden, coming from behind, the wind going away, going 5.5 furlongs. He is the first winner by Stevie Wonderboy. And it's fitting that the wind came at Del Mar. It was at Del Mar that Stevie Wonderboy won the Grade 2 Del Mar Futurity, preceding his victory in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Then yesterday at Calder, Starship Flair, second in her first start at Calder, broke her maiden by 3.25 lengths. And there are more Stevie Wonderboys on the way. In fact, By I Love You ran second, first time out at Saratoga. Katie Get Excited was second in her second start. That was at Woodbine. Made to Lover was second her first start at Hollywood Park. Then was just beaten 3 lengths in Del Mar Sorrento Stakes. Waves of Wonder placed in her first start at Presque Isle. So keep an eye on the winner's circle for more runners by Eclipse Award winner Silver Stevie Wonderboy. And in recent stakes, Indian Charlie was represented by his 9th 2011 stakes winner, 59th career stakes winner, on August 5, when You Need Me won the $75,000 Russian Rhythm Stakes. Indian Charlie once again ranks among the leaders on the 2011 General Sire list. Eclipse Award winner Stevie Wonderboy and Indian Charlie, sire of the winners of 4 Eclipse Awards, stand at Mr. and Mrs. Brett and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
I'm heading down the highway, had the gear friend no time.
All right, well, we're starting the second hour of Horse Tales here, and an old friend of mine, Brian Van Steedberg, is going to sit in with us here for a few minutes.
And I am an old friend.
Right now, not as old as I am.
But no, but hey, we're on this side of the grass. It's good.
I noticed time hasn't changed any. He's outside talking.
That's right. Know,
that's why you invited me.
That's right.
Loose lips.
Well, Brian is, and we'll have to excuse him this. Ian, I don't know if you know this about your daddy, but your daddy's originally from New York. But did he fess up to being that? But after all these years, I guess he converted and became you got a little bit of bluegrass in you now.
I have a lot of bluegrass in me now. Yeah, even my hard boot father-in-law has admitted that I'm okay now.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So there
took
you
a
go.
While.
Yeah. Well, 26 years of marriage, eventually you'll have to.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you'll give
y'all
up.
Been married 26 years.
Yeah, 29 years together. Isn't that crazy?
His hard boot father-in-law is Fred Mitchell. Over here.
Sorry, Fred.
over here. Ed. Pardon?
Yeah, Fred's
I said, sorry,
to
Fred.
Keep
yeah, if Fred's listening, he's going
to
yeah. go, damn that boy. Yeah. Maybe you don't like him so much now.
Because, of course, Fred has Clarkland Farm over here, and they raise a lot of runners over there.
Yeah.
Right. This one was the Pample Moose.
The Pamplemousse?
Yes.
Yeah, the horse either got hurt or was favored to win the Santa Anita Derby.
He won the Santa Anita, and then I think he hurt a tendon, so he had that soft tissue.
Yeah, he's at stud now.
Is he?
Yeah, I believe he was. Wasn't he by Kathleen?
I don't really know. Yes, I think he was.
Well, they breed a lot of runners, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's always it's a great mom-and-pop operation, and they've done a really nice job.
Yeah.
I say mom-and-pop, but that's because it's small, but they do a lot of their own hand-on work. But, he's moved up the line. I'm looking at him breeding. You know, he never thought that any stallion was really worth $100,000, you know, or likes a lot of babies because you're selling that dream. Well, now I went out there and I look and I'm looking at what he's got. And all of a sudden I noticed that his breeding is up a notch. But, you know, you've got to do that for today's
breed success.
Yeah, for this kind of market, you know, if you don't have something, buy something. Then a lot of people will walk over you. So it's not just enough to sell just a runner. They've got to be marketable at the same time.
Yeah. Well, of course, the stud fees have dropped a little bit, too.
Yeah, so. I know that. Yeah, the whole industry is sort of like condensed just a little bit, hasn't it? I mean, I see that with where I am at Three Chimneys with riding those boys. Yeah, I see that price tag go. But it was like point given. Stood for 125. But then I saw that when the Thoroughbred Corp owned him, they didn't support him as well. They just sent any kind of mares. And then when, I guess, he died, then there was still a little conflict. But, boy, he's got that nice little horse Coil now that when over at Monmouth Park, I'll remember that invitational, just run the other day, Bob Baffert bought him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember who had him before because my blacksmith was telling me the other day. He says, Baffert watched this horse every day. Went over there one day and said, how much for this horse? Wrote a check. Pegram bought him. And then he win that invitational at Monmouth Park and win easy.
It's the Haskell.
Yeah, the Haskell. Came from. Took him way back. The rail was dead that day. This boy took him way back to last. He made a move, and then they hooked up with Shackelford, and this horse just run like a nice thing.
Yeah, Shackelford's an awful nice
guy. Oh, well, he's danced every dance, hasn't he?
Yeah, he sure has.
They can't take anything away from him.
I want to ask you something. Your family, you're from New York. Your family wasn't involved with horses, were they?
No, I'm the black sheep. They were all IBMers and computer people, and I'm the only one that dealt with horses.
Well, what got you interested in horses?
A dysfunctional family. A dysfunctional poor family. How about that? And so, I mean, in this day and age, if I did what they did with me, child services would have probably picked me up. But it is true because...
You and Grub, they dropped Grub off at the racetrack?
Yeah,
they
dropped it.
I didn't even have the racetrack. But when I was... Actually, we didn't have any money. We didn't have heat a lot of times. So when I was 12, I've been working with horses since I was 12. They dropped me off on Flatbush Avenue, which is probably equivalent to New Circle Road over here. When I'm 12, they dropped me off. I was working for $6 a day. I could keep my tips. I had a little black and white pony called Sonny. Sonny could do Western tack. And then in Brooklyn, they would have block parties and close that all off. And then he could also sulky. And you could either ride him through the city streets in the sulky, or they'd van him over, and then we'd do pony rides. So for $6 a day, I had Sonny. And so... they would drop me off and they would leave me. No adult supervision. So it was just me and Sonny. And I mean, and like I said, in this day and age, you drop off a 12-year-old somewhere, I mean, they're going to come and get you. My family never even came by to see what I was doing. But it ended up being that Sonny would follow me around. That's how I learned about a horse, you know.
Was he a pony or Shetland?
Yeah, a little, it wasn't even a Shetland. It was just a little pony. Yeah. And at my size anyway, we could look eye to eye, so it was really pretty nice. But Sonny was so cool that he ended up would just follow you around. So the parents would bring like little girls or something like that, and you paid by, let's say, $3 for six rounds or something like that, and then anything else. Well, Sonny would follow me, so when they were taking pictures, it looked like their kid was riding. I killed him on tips now, let me tell you. And then I made, at $6 a day, I ended up saving enough money that when I was 13, I bought, in the New Jersey sales, I had what was technically a Tennessee Walker, but maybe not, but he still had a shuffling gait. And since the only thing I could afford, and it was, I think, $350 I had saved up in tips and things in 1 year. I mean, that's how so I bought this Tennessee Walker.
Well, where'd you keep him?
Well, that was the interesting thing. Mo, an Italian, we had racing pigeons on the roof. These horses were, these horses were in truck bodies, literally 18-wheelers without the wheels. bridles and straight stalls. There was no straw. And they moved me from Flatbush Avenue with the ponies that I was doing 40 stalls a day with no straw for $6. That was slave labor. But I got to keep my horse there for free. And then what we, and it was behind Gil Hodges bowling lanes. And Gil Hodges was a New York Met.
Baseball player.
So right behind there on Avenue M, which was interesting because the Italian, there was a factory up front that when the light was on, they had this roving Las Vegas thing. So when the light was on, they had roulette wheels and stuff like that. And I come into the barn one day and I see all these police and stuff like that. I was like, what was that? Well, they finally busted them. But when the light was on, we were playing craps and tables. We were doing that. And, you know, because you drive in, you go, there's no light on. There's a light on. You know, and I didn't really understand. I'm 13 years old. But boy, I saw the cops and they were taking them out in handcuffs. This was like something out of a movie. It was hysterical.
Now, this Brooklyn...
This is Brooklyn. So, but this is right on the edge of Brooklyn, which is right by Queens, Jamaica Bay. There was like a nature preserve, and so Brooklyn is surrounded by the Belt Parkway. And again, an Italian, Tony Danza, and he still has it, a dancer. The only thing on the outside of the Belt Parkway is the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, and nobody was allowed to build anything. The Italians had paid their way. Is a riding academy over there. So I would take these, since I had done so well with the ponies, that they would let me, we drank out of a bathtub also. You take them out of the straight stall, put on the western saddle, we would walk through some of the city streets, and I would take them out to the Jamaica Bay Wildlife Reserve, and we would walk underneath the Belt Parkway Bridge to where the inlets are. And so at the age of 13, I would take in some of these city cowboys for hack rides. And then when I ride my horse, the only thing I could afford was a brush and a hoof pick. I was enough horseman to know to get a hoof pick and a brush. But because I didn't have anything, I rode him bareback because he could shuffle. So at the age of 13, I was actually swimming my horse in the Atlantic Ocean.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow. So that was, you know, for a kid that had a dysfunctional family, it was great. It's the only thing I think that kept me sane and kept me from going to the dark side. But yeah, it was. Yeah,
I thought you were on the dark side. But go ahead.
I'm on the edge. I'm not going to say that I'm on totally on the light, but I'm not totally dark either. So that's pretty good. But yeah, that was kind of a great experience. And then how I got
kept the horses in 18 wheelers.
Yes, in truck bodies in straight stalls. And I remember that Whitey. There was a Whitey. Whitey chewed tobacco. And you know, if you're in Brooklyn and you got a guy chewing Red Man, you know that's kind of interesting for a 13-year-old anyway. And you're riding in a corral. Well, the corral wasn't much, but a few boards tacked around. I mean, this was a far cry from out west. But Whitey, he had the other renting place had burned down, and Whitey was there, and he spit his tobacco out, and he gave me his bit of horseman wisdom. And he goes, yeah, sometimes them horses aren't really good in those straight stalls. He said, what you need to do is take your good 2x4 and whack him in the head, and that'll straighten him up.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, I don't know if I'll go there, but yeah, you know, that was Whitey's take on that. And I thought, wow, that's not for me. But then eventually when I graduated high school and I moved out to New Jersey, I hooked up with Hans Dressler, who was a world, he was under contract at that time before in Mexico City, German rider. So I, then he had bought the Princeton Riding Center. And I went to work
what
for
What kind
him.
Of rider was
and
it?
Like a
three-day event?
Yeah.
Dressage rider. Yeah. Matter of fact, he has a website, and I think he's his son rides also, and I think they even have a Florida connection. But that was in the early 70s, and that's when the European dressage was just coming to the United States.
Yeah.
And so I was his farm manager, which meant, again, that for $150, I did 28 box stalls a day, did turnouts, but I did get to ride for an hour at the end of the day and didn't have to pay for lessons. So that was a pretty good day. But I learned dressage from him. But he was an excellent horseman. And so for the longest time, he made me wait on the ground before he put me in the air.
Yeah,
so he taught me to watch and learn something and then put me in the air. And he taught me how to be a much better rider.
Yeah.
So riding bareback was pretty good. But then that was an interesting discipline. And then like breaking yearlings on the racetrack, because I've been on the racetrack since 78.
Let me take a break here and I'll get back to you. And we'll get you waiting for size.
This is great. This is fascinating. I didn't know.
Well, August 3 at, did I just do that one? Yeah, I just did that. Where am I?
Claiborne
Farm. Yeah, last Saturday, Louisiana Downs Trubs, a 3-year-old colt from the first crop by First Samurai, won the $100,000 Super Derby Prelude Stakes. And the next day at Saratoga, Tar Heel Mom, a daughter of Flatter, won the Grade 2 Honorable Miss Stakes. Trubs is bred and is owned by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dill Snyder, and his win stamped him as one of the favorites for the upcoming Super Derby. Winner early this year of the Black Gold Stakes at the fairgrounds. He is one of 7 stakes horses, 4 stakes winners from the first crop by First Samuel, a list which includes graded stakes winners at Belmont and Saratoga. Tar Heel Mom, bred by Ups and Downs Farm, won the Honorable Miss by nearly 6 lengths to boost her earnings to over $788,000. And the day before at Saratoga, Flat Out, coming off of victory in the Grade 2 Suburban, finished 2nd in the Grade 1 Whitney. First Samuel, a Grade 1 stakes winner by Giant's Causeway, and Flatter, son of A.P. Indy, both stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are 2 names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, last Sunday at Del Mar, the Grade $250,000 Best Pal Stakes was won by Creative Cause, a 2-year-old colt by Giant's Causeway, bred by James Weagle. Creative Cause sprinted 6.5 furlongs in the Best Pal and won 15-3, missing the track record by just 3/5 of a second, to win going away by nearly 2 lengths. To quote the Thoroughbred Times, it was a powerhouse win following a dazzling debut. He won first time out at Hollywood Park by nearly 5 lengths on July 11th. Creative Cause is the 16th 2011 stakes winner and 106th stakes winner sired by Giant's Causeway. He's the leading sire of 2011 stakes winners, and he is currently the leading sire, ranked number 1 on the general sire list. Now, ranked number 1 on the juvenile sire list is Taylor the Cat, who counts the sensational 2-year-old colt Overdriven, winner of Saratoga's Grade 2 Sanford, among his 8 juvenile winners. Taylor the Cat also ranks 9th on the 2011 general sire list. Both Giant's Causeway and Taylor the Cat stand at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore. Anyway, I'm getting back. I'm talking to Brian Van Steenburg, who we last left him learning how to do a little dressage.
Yes. So after, a blacksmith came to the farm and told me, he said, "Do you really want to make money?" He said, "For that same $150, he was like, instead of doing 28 box stalls, why don't you go to racetrack?" He said, "You could take care of 3 for the $150." And I came down here in 78 when the horse park first opened up for that 3-day event. Fell in love with this place. Yeah. I mean, coming from New York, this was green trees, miles of green grass. I'd never seen that before, ever. And so fell in love with this. Went to Keeneland, was one of the first tracks I ever went to. And so in 78, I went to work for Stanley Reeser.
Is that right?
Yeah, what a good guy.
No, out of Keeneland?
Right, out of Keeneland. I picked him up there, and then from there, that's where we went on the circuit. Was at Gulfstream Park in the winter, Keeneland spring and fall, and then the Jersey Shore. So as a young man, that was pretty exciting to take that trip. Mm. But yeah, I went to work for him and just groomed horses for a little bit because I wanted to learn about leg work.
What did he have at that time? Stanley's had good horses.
Oh, yeah, well, because there were Barbara Hunters, and yeah, he had just gotten rid of Double Delta and Patty Canyon, so that was right after that. And
what a good mare she was.
Oh my goodness, was she? She had just went to the farm, so it was right after that. And he still had all Barbara Hunter's horses, so that was kind of fun. And what a nice person she is. I mean, she's one of the few people in the thoroughbred industry that, I mean, she just loves her horses. She's just has never changed since the day I've seen her. And I think Tom Proctor still has her horses now.
Mm-hmm. And Steve Casey has some of them out here.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So has a few of them out here. You know.
She is just like the ideal owner.
She's raised a lot of runners.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. She's raised a lot of runners and a good person. So that was where I came from the racetrack. And it was a blast. It was nice to be able to travel that circuit, but then also learn. I thought Stanley was a pretty good horseman, and mm-hmm. And then worked for a few other people, and then have been here at the training center since the winter of 81, 82. Mm-hmm. And that's when I met my wife in July 1st of 82.
Poor girl.
I know. You know what? She can't run away from me because I keep finding her. And now the great job is from all those 7 days a week is now riding the stallions out of Three Chimneys.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. Well, you were, Jack and I were training out here, and we had a rider on that really couldn't handle one particular horse. And Damnation.
Oh, Damnation. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
So I had watched Brian ride, and I said, well, you know, so I went to you. And you, for some reason, you decided you would get on him. And
that's that crazy New Yorker in me.
Yeah. Well, he turned out he wasn't all that bad.
Oh,
he
wasn't bad at all. No, he was just misunderstood. He was what a big, good-looking, gorgeous gray horse. I mean, and he could flat run, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could.
Yeah, he was. And it really wasn't his problem. But I see that a lot of times with the horses out here. Is, you know, a lot of times riders don't understand them. You know, it's hard to be 7 days a week anywhere.
Yeah.
But people have asked me that about even riding the stallions. Well, what, you know, when you dominate them. And I was like, you don't dominate a horse because then it's those two people looking to argue. And it takes two people to have a true argument. Yeah. I said, but I've always, even with my boys, is if I find out what they like, and once you find out what they like, and then you just, like even my kids, is then you put boundaries and parameters on the outside and let them be a horse in between, then usually the nobility of a horse usually comes out and he'll do anything for you.
Yeah. Well, you used to take Dennis. We called him Dennis.
Dennis, yeah.
And Dennis would do some silly jiggling around or something. And prior riders had always, whoa, you know. And you used to laugh at him. Ha, 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 Dennis, you big dummy. Mm-hmm. And
he wasn't the brightest horse in the world.
Oh, no, he really was, but he was just a horse.
Yeah.
You know, and horses, horses love to play. I mean, they do love to play, and what we're asking them to do is something so unnatural for them anyway, to leave a pack. They're pack animals. They feel very comfortable with a pack, and we're asking them to turn around and leave a pack and do something different. So it's served me well through the course of years, but if you let a horse be a horse and then they become happy, then that nobility comes out and they'll do anything for you.
I mean, well, yeah, he won his second start for us.
Yes. Yeah. I remember breezing him one time out here in three quarters, and he went racehorse time carrying my big butt around there. That was pretty impressive, let me tell you, because I'm not a small jock.
Oh, I remember the one time we asked him, somebody had a horse, I won't say who it is, but you know.
I know where this is going.
Some guy said, Ursula, I want to work 1/5 out here. There's people want to buy this horse. They went ahead and headed to the eighth pole, and then you kissed him goodbye, and I think it killed the safe. The guy came up and said, you want to sell the gray horse?
That's right. Well, I got to look after my people's best interests. It's not about somebody else. It's about, who I'm... what I'm doing and for who I'm doing.
Yeah.
So
he was a very fragile horse, though.
Yeah, but he's big. He was big. He was a big, strong horse. And sometimes those big, strong horses, they are fragile animals.
He ended up as a big-time hot fox hunter in Virginia. I mean, big time.
Yeah. James Keough told us he had seen him in Virginia.
That was the only other nice thing, I think, that through the course of all this time riding is that the dressage had served me well, is that it taught you to be a little kinder to the animals and not just always be reaching and grabbing them and smooching at them, but teach them a little bit more about balance. But we had another horse that I had for Jan and Bill Johnson, which that show on HRTV, they had hooked up with me last summer because they saw that on HRTV, and they were like, now I knew where you were. But we had a horse called Pappy Clifford, named after one of his somebody that he knew back in the Carolinas. And one night when we had a storm, he got cast in a stall and ended up fracturing his pelvis a little bit. Mm. And this guy ended up buying him for $2,500. Well, he turned out to be champion and reserve champion as a jumper.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and he did so well. So everybody has actually turned out to do another job afterwards. And so they've been able to at least know balance and go on and go forward.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of going forward, I'll go to my boys out of Three Chimneys because I don't want to run out of time. But somebody asked me, that they think that I might have ridden more champions than anybody else. Because, you know, if they're not champions and not retired, so I never really thought about it in that context,
yeah.
But they might halfway be right.
Yeah.
Well, you started getting on, how long have you been galloping stallions out at?
I think it's somewhere around nine, you know, I can't know. You know, as we get older, time sort of flies, and I can only date with my kids, and I know my daughter's already 16, and I'm like, wow, when did that go? But we were trying to figure this out. It's somewhere around 9 or 10 years out there.
Yeah.
But I had ridden Silver Charm, ridden Point Given. I rode Miesque Sun. Now I ride Big Brown.
Did you get on Seattle Slew? And was he
no?
Too
he was. He was. That was that when I went there. That's when he had just done his last surgery. Dan Rosenberg had told him that he didn't think that he should have another surgery. They should retire him.
Yeah.
And they really wanted to have another surgery with him, and that's how he ended up leaving the farm.
Oh. Okay.
Oh yeah. And so that's exactly when I came in. But I actually got the job because Silver Charm, really smart horse. You know, he just missed the Triple Crown, and
By a nose.
By a nose. Really brilliant. I mean, he was really smart. And the other boy overrode him. And to me, was again, let a horse be a horse, was that the first time I got on him, by the time he got out the door, he's almost on a gallop. And I thought, well, this is not going to really work. Because my job is for them to have fun. So that's why I like my job. There's no pressure. So I started to throw his head away. And I could just reach up in the tack and talk to him. And so the first round, I let him jog. And then after I'd let him jog, I'd say, okay. And this horse could cut a rug, and he would buck sometimes. His feet would be way above my head. But he's never trying to get me off. He's just trying to be a racehorse. And then as we get to the turns, because I gallop around a paddock on wood chips. And as we get to the turn, I'd go, all right, easy. And he would rock back like a Western pleasure horse. His haunches would be way underneath him, and he'd go real easy. And then all of a sudden, we hit the straightaway. I'd go, okay. And then on my last lap, I'd be like Tom Durkin. And they won't catch the big gray today. And he knew the last lap. And sometimes it'd be halfway a two-minute lick. And he would buck and fart and play all the way to the end. But the interesting thing about this horse, and he would do anything for me, anything for me. We rode in the bottom on a grass course one time, and I always let him graze because, you know, they sometimes don't graze under tack. So I'd let him graze, and he would walk all the way from the bottom. And as soon as he got to where his paddock was, just his paddock, and right across by the gate by his paddock, he had to stop and eat that grass. Like he was telling me, I've seen this grass so much, and I got to have a bite of that. But, interesting that he went, you know, he's one of the only Derby winners that went over to Dubai and win the World Cup.
Yeah.
Well, when it got to be summertime, he would go out there and he would plod along and just jog like, oh, this heat is killing me. And I was like, how could you go to Dubai and win that race and then come over here and be like, all I could do is just jog today? Yeah. He was just that much fun. He was such a pleasure.
Was he your favorite one to get on?
He was, until I have a new favorite.
Oh, who you got now?
My newest favorite is Big Brown.
Ah.
I have never, in all my years of riding, and I've been, be 54, so I've been riding 42 years. In all my years of riding, I have never straddled an athlete like that in my life. I have never been carried through space as effortlessly as this horse. And
wow.
This horse, mentally, is one of the neatest horses I've ever been around. Now, I shouldn't badmouth anybody, but where he came from, despite all that, this horse still has got it. I mean, even being a breeding stallion, he's one of the nicest colts that I've ever seen being around. And this year when I rode him, because he goes to Australia now, so now he's doing Southern Hemisphere breeding. And so last year, for some reason, because we had to do something with Dynaformer, that I couldn't ride him. So it had been over a year since I couldn't ride him. Well, we turned around, and this year when he came back, we started to ride him. And I ride him as naked as can be. He has this big, soft snaffle, no rings, no yoke, no noseband. And I get on him, and it's like I rode him yesterday. And I rode him about 2-3 days, then we went to daylight savings time. Well, the first 2 days of daylight savings time, it was overcast. Well, I couldn't see coming out of the parking lot. And I'm riding around black fences. And so we go to walk out, and he doesn't stop, but he hesitates a little bit, like he's telling me, buddy, I can't see. And I'm like, but buddy, I can't see either. Off he goes. And just as effortless as possible. I mean, he's just that kind of a guy.
Mm.
But, I mean, he carries me through space like nothing I've ever straddled before.
How tall is he?
How big a horse is he?
You know, he's one of those horses that when you do sit on him, you know the ones that grow up underneath you and make your hair on the back of your neck stick up? Yeah, so that's what he is. But I'd say he's probably around 16'3".
Wow.
Big horse, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's just really, his youthfulness, you know, it's funny when you say big horse, when you get around these other horses that are horses, and now they're like 8, 9, 10 years old. He's still such a baby, but he's just is that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me interrupt you again. I want to catch up with what you're doing now. Besides that,
Let's go.
Oh, well, Empire Maker, a proven sire of grade one stakes winners, is by Unbridled, out of Troussade by El Grand Senor. Closely related to Empire Maker is the young grade one stakes winner, First Defense. First Defense is by Unbridled Song, a son of Unbridled, out of Empire Maker's half-sister, Honest Lady, by Seattle Slough. Honest Lady herself, a grade one stakes winner of over $894,000, is also a half-sister to yet another successful sire, Chester House. Like Empire Maker, a proven sire of grade one stakes winners. First Defense won the grade one Forgo, sprinting 7 furlongs and won 22-2. He also sprinted 7 furlongs and won 20 in Ford Belmont and won 22-1 at Churchill. Ran 6 furlongs and 9-2 to take the Jiper, grade three. Won the Long Branch Breeders' Cup Stakes around 2 turns. He was fast, he was versatile, and he has a great pedigree. It's a sire pedigree, and his first foals are yearlings. So look him over. First Defense stands at Judmont Farm with Mizzenmast, another proven sire of grade one stakes winners. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
Tom Biederman of BiedermanBrokerage.com has got some fantastic property for sale. I'm just going to tell you that besides all the wonderful farms that are turnkey, gorgeous houses, the houses are beautiful, he's got several places that it's acreage. He's got 84.8 acres out on Noontown Pike. Now, this is just 3.5 miles away from the horse park. Can't get any better than that. And then Elkchester, which is out behind Keeneland, another 100-acre place. It's 2 miles to Keeneland. It's got 36 stalls, 3 barns, paddocks, planking. This is the part there I get green with envy. Asphalt roadways as I drive in on the gravel. Whew, that's nice. They've got automatic water, city water. It's an absolutely beautiful farm. And there's another place you want to get out of town a little bit. They got 122 acres in Mercer County down in Harrisburg. It's just $695. So give him a call at 277-2030. Better than that, go to Biederman Brokerage. .com. That's Biederman Brokerage.com.
Yeah, I want to talk about Jim Fitzgerald a little bit down at Knott Griffin Farm. Jim's a good friend of ours. He's a neighbor, thank goodness. He does our mowing for us.
Oh, he comes in our little place with one of those big, giant, super-duper tractors with a bat wing. You know, it looks like you can mow both sides of I-75 at the same time. Goes whipping around through there, and it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, it does a great job. You know, we really appreciate that. Jim has got Knott Griffin Farm, which is right around, well, we can see the back of his farm from the back of ours. It's over on 460. And just a great guy and a superior horseman. He came up under the best. You know, he's one of these Irish guys that, you know, you ask him, what did you, how'd you get into horses? Well, I had a pony when I was 2.
And they all used to ride pony jump races, these little kids in Ireland.
Yeah.
Bareback, probably.
Oh, yeah. No, I think they actually did have saddles, the correct saddles, don't you know?
Well, he came up under Dr. Michael Osborne and John Williams over at Spendthrift and Lee Eaton. And he's owned Knott Griffin Farm for 17 years now. He's got another farm, Harper's Island, which is pretty close. Yeah, just 10 minutes apart. And he does it all. Boarding, sales prep, sales, private or public, doesn't make any difference. You can sell your horse at auction, rehab, and top-class help. He wouldn't have anything else. And if you just if you get into the business and you want some good, sound, common sense advice and somebody you can trust, well, Jim Fitzgerald is your man. Let me give you his website. It's knockgriffinfarm.com, K-N-O-C-K-G-R-I-F-F-I-N. And his phone number in good old Bourbon County is 987-8032. Jim Fitzgerald, Knott Griffin Farm. All righty. Well, I'm talking to Brian Van Steenberg, and just getting on those studs down there. It's kind of a sideline with Brian. I think he just does it for the exercise or something. I don't know. But you and your wife, Tammy, have got a lovely little business going for you down in Midway now, both of you.
Yeah, this is the shameless pug. Okay. So it's VS Salon in Midway. Yes, and she cuts hair and I do massage. And we've been there, I guess I don't. Well, we've added the massage, and that's just been 6 years. Yeah. So we've been there a little. I think over 12, maybe 13 years. Again, wow. we lose time when time flies. Yeah. But I've been doing the massage, and it's interesting that the horse business has followed me. Now I have a bunch of blacksmiths and riders because they need that. And so I've been trying to take my business. Not everybody will go see a guy. The ratio is 4 girls to 1 guy in massage therapy, and I've been doing it for a little over 11 years. But I'm trying to do, as we get older, make everybody work and move around. And I'm on the advisory board for the there's a bunch of doctors that are trying to improve the health of the truckers in the United States, which is like, I don't know, 5 million truckers. And I'm on
they sit there all the
they
time.
They sit there and they have their wallet in their back pocket, and they're eating bad things, and so they're trying to improve their health. And there's a book come out and a book on tape and things like that, and so I'm on their advisory board. But my other nice thing is coming about is the National Institute of Health, which is the big grant company, and I've been certified by them. But they have partnered with UK, and I am an independent contractor for the next year for UK.
Great.
And we're trying to prove that massage will help chronic back pain.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, and so we're going to try to do this not in a clinical setting, but all in a rural setting, urban and rural, which is in more of a community-based. So we're trying to put this in like a real-world setting, and we're going to offer doctor's referrals, so you're going to get all kinds of different chronic back pain. But if we can prove that massage will help alleviate this, because as some of the doctors said, some of the medicines that they're prescribing for this are starting more symptoms come up that the medicine is causing. So if we can do this, the NIH is going to try to pressure insurance to cover massage.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
So, yeah, so this is an extension of the family practice at UK. And so I'm really looking forward to see how this will come out. We have one more year to get this done, and I think July of next year is when this whole thing will come to an end, and hopefully we'll get enough good data together, and we'll see how this works. But
I'm impressed. Yeah. How about that? Yeah.
You'd be impressed. Tammy, of course, is lovely and gracious wife.
Jackie drives all the way to Bourbon, Canada, Midway, to get her hair done.
Well, all my friends do, too. And my daughter, of course, says that Tammy looks like
Hannah Montana.
Tammy, his wife, is the only person I know who looks younger every year. That girl is gorgeous. And look, I don't see living with you.
That's what keeps her young.
Yeah, right. She is absolutely. Yeah. But I was sitting in it. Well, this is what I was going to say about you had a client, massage client, come down. That you had given a massage to for 90 minutes. And she was floating. It was hilarious. She was going on and on about, oh, I feel so good. You know, I mean, it was just hysterical.
I have the head neurosurgeon at UK. His wife is one of my clients. And her aunt from England came over. And she came into the shop with a cane. And to this day, she still talks about me, but in her best English, you know, in her best British interpretation. But she comes in, she has a cane, and I'm a little worried because we have to go upstairs. And she says she gets a massage in England once a week and everything else. Well, we come in, we do an hour massage, and then she wants to come back before she goes back to England. Well, she comes back, she leaves her cane by the front door, and then walks the rest of the way. And I said, well, so when I ask her, how was that massage in her best British, she's, that was brilliant.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes,
that's a big thumbs up.
It was a big thumbs up, and to this day, she still asks how I am doing. And so that's really pretty. You know, that's the nice part about my job is, you know, people say they get enough from what I do, but it's really sweet is that I get a lot of feedback that way too. Yeah, it's one of the only, let's say, medical profession where you get a hug. You know, I don't know many people that are going to hug their doctor. You know, it's like, thank you very much, bye.
Not going to hug the nurse either.
No. But yeah, it's one of the nicest, you know, that's part of the positive side of what I do. That's it's really exciting. I had a blacksmith the other day that, you know, I think that term jerkinada in you came from somebody that dealt with a horse. Because whether you're leading them whether you're underneath them, whether you're grooming them or leading them somewhere, they're going to put a knot in you somewhere.
And or a scrape on you somewhere.
Yeah, they're going to knock you in, aren't they? So he had got his down in his back and had been there for a week. And when he came into the waiting room, he couldn't even really sit down.
Yeah. I mean, your wife and daughter just showed up, and I've got a make a little comment here. Thank God your daughter looks like her mother.
Yeah, well, aren't we glad? She looked like me. We would have had to put a bag on her head. Come on.
Yeah, now she's a big gymnast.
Yeah, that's well, what I understand.
Cheerleader.
If she looked like me, I'd have to rub her with bacon so the boys would follow her. Now I got a cat. Now I just got to pack a pistol.
Well, she's pretty as she can be. Of course,
thank
so
you.
Is Mama.
That's good.
Yeah, and Ian is a good-looking kid. He looks like you too, Tammy. So.
Well, you know, I might not have enough to write you a check in the bank, but then you look at what I've got going on here, and
there
I'm rich.
I like going for you.
I'm rich beyond means, so yeah, everything's.
They're
I've been
gorgeous.
Really blessed, yeah.
And Tammy's wonderful with hair. I mean, I don't think anybody has ever done a better job on this face. Gee,
well, you know, we have the shop. What we like about the shop, we don't have to do meetings all the time. We have a great collection of people that work there. It's very laid back. I think when you come in there, it feels like it's your living room. You know, and I think that we've just been so lucky that we get the right kind of clientele that shows up. Everybody is, like I said, it's like in your living room. People come on
like
over
friends.
There. It's not a, yeah, it's like friends.
Like
it's
friends.
Not like a business.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's very relaxing.
Now, tell me exactly where it is now.
It is between Railroad Street and our one stoplight.
Yeah.
Yes, on Winter Street. No, you can't miss it. Right behind City Hall on Railroad Street is the city parking lot.
About a block down from the post office.
Yes.
Toward Railroad Street.
And
toward
Railroad Street. If you get your hair appointment during lunch, Tammy runs up to the Midway store, and if you send a couple of bucks, you get that delicious hamburger.
Oh, yeah.
I had that yesterday. It was
best hamburger, isn't
best
it?
Best hamburger.
My nephew,
if I had any hair, I'd come down, Tammy.
my nephew came up from Miami, and you know, once you're in Miami, you've got to be very guarded. Well, he thought it was so amazing that he could go down to the Midway Corner Grocery unguarded and get a hamburger, and then that hamburger was so delicious, by the time he got back home, next thing you know is, Mom, I need another $2 because I'm going back to the Corner Grocery, yeah, that's pretty. Yeah. It's pretty nice setup. But Midway's a really great throwback kind of a town, and the food is really pretty nice.
Yeah,
and, you can't hardly get lost there.
It looked pretty crowded yesterday too. I mean, it was hard to see a parking space. Like it's come back some.
You know, it comes in its waves, but they've been able to maintain. I mean, I think that the restaurants have really been able to keep things going. And, there are some nights, I think the Grey Goose has made that really possible when the Black Tulip moved out. And that's more of a mainstream kind of thing. And, you get people, I think we went to the Kentucky Derby. When we came back, we had college girls in there. And then there was an owner and a trainer, and they had that old striped band where they were sitting in Millionaire's Row. And then there was a big bus that had a police escort on the way to Derby, and they all met in Midway for dinner that night.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a great town. It goes across every border that way. I wouldn't trade it. As some of our clients say, this is like a diamond in a rough. It's a real gem.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't trade Midway. It's a great location.
Well, Brian, I'm going to have to let you go.
Well, thank you for putting me on the air today. And
well, it's fun
anytime.
Talking to you.
Do you ever ride out here any?
No, my wife doesn't want me on the racetrack.
Oh, okay.
With probably good reason. You know, I get to play with them when there's nobody else around, so it's a lot easier to have your horse be more relaxed out here. You know, it's like driving your car. You might not be a bad driver, but there's usually one out there with you.
Well, the place has really changed since we were out here, though, you know, like when you were getting on horses for us. It's since Keenan took it over.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, yeah, it's changed, you know.
Well, it looks like they're keeping it up a lot better. You know, there was times when we were out here.
The track man's a genius.
Excellent.
Yeah, he's really great. You know, we missed in 2 years of training, and all this weather, we missed one day.
Wow.
One day.
Wow, that's excellent.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
60 winters from here last month.
Really?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, 60 winters came out of here in July, and I keep a list of them. We've had 20 already this month. 60 winters, including 3 stakes winners last month.
Well, you know, when they took it over and they started rehabbing those barns, that was the best thing that could ever happen.
Oh, yeah, they just gutted them.
Yeah, those were the old Miles Park barns.
I know.
Wow, and I think the nails that held those boards together at Miles Park were the same ones holding them together when Keeneland took them out. I mean, that wasn't wood. That was petrified wood. It was like rock. I mean, come on.
Now, wait.
I got to do some women.
Say your telephone number.
Okay, VS Salon in Midway. Our number is an 859 number, 846-4039.
And if you couldn't understand a New York accent, that's V is in Victory, S is in Sugar Salon. All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Good to see you guys. Well, Candy Stripes is the sire of Eclipse Award winner Leroy DeSantimo, sire of the winner of this year's Kentucky Derby. He is also the broodmare sire of the successful and popular young sire Candy Ride, and he's the sire of Eclipse Award winner Invisor. Invisor, undefeated at two. Champion 3-year-old, horse of the year at three. Champion 4-year-old, undefeated in the USA at four. Champion older male, undefeated at five. Ranked number one in the world as a 4-year-old. Ranked number one in the world at the time of his retirement at five. Invisor won 9 Grade 1 stakes, including 2 of the world's most coveted tests, the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Dubai World Cup. He retired with earnings over $7,894,070. He did everything asked of him, and he was described as the best older horse to race in this country since Spectacular Bid. Invisor at Shadwell Farm. Information about the Shadwell Stallions, just check the website at shadwell.farm, shadwellfarm.com. Our contact stand manager, Kent Barnes, 224-4585.
Kentucky Derby.
Well, Tisway won her last Saturday the Grade 1 Whitney, and prior to that of the Grade 1 Metropolitan, in which he ran the mile of 132-4, is the nation's leading older male. He's by Tis now. Modern Cowboy, winner that same day, the $125,000 West Virginia Governor's Handicap, is by Tis now. And Rush Now, second in the Grade 2 West Virginia Derby, came within a half length of making it 3 stakes winners in the same day by Hall of Famer Tisnow. Those are the kind of performances we've come to expect from the Tisnows. And that's reason enough for you to pay close attention to the Tisnow yearlings at upcoming sales and to consider his Grade 1 winning son, Colonel John, in future breeding plans. Colonel John counts the Grade 1 Travers and the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby among his victories. He earned over $1,779,000. His first foals arrived this year, and like his great sire, he stands at Windstar Farm. For more information about the Windstar Stallions, get in touch with Robin Hammond. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, well, I have with me now my good friend Steve Moody, who is with Briss, and I believe he's doing the Saratoga sheet now. Although, did you look at the feature race down at Ellis Park today?
No, I think I was talking to somebody yesterday, said they had run a Gardenia today, but I'm kind of on tunnel vision. I'm just doing Saratoga.
Well, you're getting lazy in your old age, Steve. That's what it is.
Well, they're running Arlington Million today, too, but I haven't looked at that yet either.
So. Well, we're rooting for Rahi Strider in that one. He trains out here. Ran fourth in it last year, if you recall. Just got beat 3 lengths for all the money. And he won that big $750,000 stake at Virginia Downs, Colonial Downs, earlier this year. Scooter Hughes trains for him out of Byron G. Hughes. He belongs to Robert Courtney Jr. Well, I guess you did the Sword Dancer then.
Sword Dancer, yeah. A mile and a half, Grade 1. And a field of 8 drawn in there. Pretty well-matched group. There's, you know, there's Winchester is the 5-2 favorite. And he looks kind of lukewarm in here to me. Came back 3 weeks ago and made his first start and ran a good effort in there, but figures to move forward today. He definitely has a big chance, but I don't know that I could back him at a short price. The two horse Grassy, I think, has got a big shot in here, 5-1 with. Christophe Clement, Javier Castellano rides. He's been right there in his recent starts, and I think he's got a big chance here. The 3, Rahi's Attorney, comes in from Woodbine. I thought had kind of a race last time out that he kind of fell to the front in a race that just had no pace at all in it. And it's really not where he's the best. I think he likes to sit just off of, usually close, but sit just off of it. And in this last race, they just he was in front and going very slow and just didn't have that late kick that he normally has, and he faded. But I think he's got a shot in here, and he's 8-1. in the morning line. Boisterous five horse came back a pretty good effort in the Man of War. I think he can move off of that one. Sugar McGahee's got him. He's got John Velasquez in the irons. And then the seven horse shipping in from Monmouth is Teeks North. Looks to be really going good now for Justin Salusto. Eddie Castro is riding him. 3-1 second choice, and I think he's got a big shot. So pretty wide open race. I'm going to go for a little bit of a price here, Ursel, with the three, Rahi's Attorney. I think he'll be able to sit just a little bit off of it in this race today and make his run at it when they turn for home. Hopefully have enough left to hold off the big closers in here. And I think at 8-1 he's a pretty square price. The 7, Teeks North, I think he's probably got the sharpest current form of anybody in here. I'm going to take him second. And then the 2-horse, Grassy, another horse with a decent price at 5-1. Take him third. So we're going to 3-7-2 in the Sword Dancer Invitational.
All right, Steve, we thank you. And it's been Steve Moody, normally with the Kentucky Handicap Sheet. He's doing Saratoga right now, which is probably a little bit more fun. And you can buy that wherever you find a daily racing form. And Steve, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right, Ursula.
All righty. Well, let's see what I'm going to do here. Well, Tis Way, winner last Saturday of the historic Grade 1 $750,000 Whitney, is to stand the 2012 season at Spendthrift Farm. His victory in the Whitney followed a stunning performance in the Grade 1 Metropolitan Mile, sprinted the mile in 1:32-4, and he's considered to be the nation's number one ranked older horse now. Tis Way will be the second graded stakes winner by Hall of Famer and leading sire Tisnow to enter stud at Spendthrift. There he'll join the fleet Tis Wonderful. Now, Tis Wonderful was precocious. He won the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. He won the Grade 3 Iroquois Stakes, both at Churchill Downs. He was undefeated as a 2-year-old. The first foals by Tis Wonderful, the yearlings. And they've been in demand. They look good. They sold for out at the Facey Tipton July sales for $130,000, $85,000, $85,000, $80,000. Two other Grade 1 stakes winners, Arch 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 and Patio Prado, are to stand their first seasons at Spendthrift Farm next year. So for more information about the Spendthrift Stallions, get in touch with Ken Wilkins or Des Nipsey or Sean Fell or Ned Toffee, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. All righty. Well, we were talking about Steve Moody just gave us the winner of the Sword Dancer, which is a feature race up in New York. Today I want to talk a little bit about Sword Dancer. I got a minute or two here. He was a foal in 1956 by Sunglow, who was by Sunglow stood over at Mirworth Farm, the old Mirworth Farm. And he was by, if I'm think I'm right about but by Son Again, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, Sword Dancer's dam was Highland Fling, an unraced daughter of By Jiminy. By Jiminy was by Fairmont II out of Bugging a Rug by Blue Larkspur, and here's a trivia question for you. He was the champion 3-year-old of 1944. Everybody's forgotten about him. Wasn't much of a stud horse, By Jiminy wasn't, but he did saw a Preakness winner in Bowl. Sword Dancer was foaled in Virginia, trained by Elliot Birch, Jr., who was a third-generation Hall of Fame trainer, Preston Birch, W.T. Birch, were his father and grandfather. Of course, Brookmead Stable was the owner. That's Isabel Dodge Sloan. And they sold his dam for $2,000 at Keeneland in the fall when Sword Dancer was a yearling. Then they resold him in 1959 for $80,000 when Sword Dancer was went on his way to the Horse of the Year title. Broke his maiden in his eighth start as a 2-year-old up in August at Saratoga. He was a little bit slow coming around. The only stakes winner, too, was in the Mayflower Stakes at Suffolk Downs, 1 mile and 70 yards up in, October. They did run third in the Garden State Stakes, which was won by First landing by turn two. Tommy Lee was second. He was by two to Minstrel. And he ran fourth in the rims and 14 starts at two. He had 3 wins, 2 seconds, and 3/3. As a three-year-old, which was the year he was horse of the year, in his first start was a Gulfstream on March 11th. And he ran fifth in the Hutchinson, going 6.5 furlongs, a horse named Easy Spur. I can't remember who Easy Spur was by. That's a shame on me. Out of an Easy Mon Mare, I do remember that. Can't remember the daddy. I think he was Florida bred anyway. Then he came back and won an allowance race. Got beat by Easy Spur. That was then he ran second to Easy Spur in the Florida Derby, is what I was talking about. He won an allowance race, and then he ran second in the Florida Derby, Easy Spur again. Sent him up to Churchill, and on April the 25th, he ran 7/8 mile, 1:22-1, and beat Easy Spur and Silver Spoon. Silver Spoon, of course, by citation. She ran fifth in the Derby that year. Then he ran second to Tommy Lee. Got beat a nose in the Derby, one of the all-time great Derbies. I saw that one. And, boy, Willie Bolin rode him that year. For the first landing, ran third. And Tommy Lee was just coming off a win in the Bluegrass Stakes. What a wonderful horse he was. Frank Childs trained him at that time. And that was just a great race. They were head and head all the way down the stretch. Bumped each other. But Tommy Lee did prevail by that nose. And they sent Sword Dancer to the Preakness, and he got beat 4 lengths by Royal Orbit, who was by Royal Charger. And Shoemaker at that time had shifted over and was riding Sword Dancer. Then he won the Met Mile on May the 30th. He came back for the Belmont Stakes on the 13th. Of June, and he beat Baghdad, a son of Double J, in Royal Orbit. On the July the 25th, he won the Monmouth Handicap, beating Amerigo, a son of Niarco, and Talent Show, if I recall, was by Olympia. Then he ran second in the Brooklyn to Babu, who was by My Babu, of course, stood over Spencer's farm. He was giving him 12 pounds. And he got beat 3/4 length that day. Then he won the Travers over Middle Brother. He won the Woodward by a head over Hillsdale. And for the life of me, I can't remember who Hillsdale. He was belonged to this guy up in Michigan, and I think he named him after the city and the school up there, Hillsdale College. And Hillsdale was a heck of a resource, but I can't remember who he was by.
Good school too, yeah.
Roundtable ran third. I remember that one. He was by Prince Quilla. Got one of them right anyway. Then he won the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and he beat Roundtable by 7 lengths that day. Then, let's see, he was voted champion three-year-old, and he was horse of the year as a three-year-old. 13 starts, 8 wins, and 4 seconds just once. That was his first start when he ran fifth. Sprinting down in at Gulfstream Park. He didn't. And next year, as a four-year-old, he ran a couple of good races, but he just went 4 for 12. And he did win the Gray Lag. He beat First Landing that day. First Landing was by turn two. Then he also won the Suburban, beating First Landing again, setting a new track record for 1.25 miles. And he won the Woodward for the second year in a row. And he beat Dotted Swiss and Bald Eagle. And then in his last start of his career was third. He went third in the Man of War. That was just his third start on grass, incidentally, to Harmonizing and Bald Eagle. Wrenched an ankle and was retired to stud over at Darby Dan Farm. Then in 1970, they leased him to a group of breeders in France, and he died over in France in 1984. He was ended his career with 39 starts, 15 wins, 7 seconds, 5/3. Earned over $829,000, which was quite a bit of money at that time. At stud, he sired 15 stakes winners in the USA. As I say, he was not that successful. But he did sire two brilliant runners in Damascus, who was a horse of the year and a much better sire than his daddy. Damascus, of course, stood down at Claiborne Farm. He was a puppy dog. We were talking about him earlier in a show. They just let him in with a, they put the snap in the ring on his halter, and he'd walk in like a big puppy dog, and was a wonderful sire. And his sword dancer was also sire of a champion three-year-old filly, and her name was Lady Pitt, and she was also a very, very, very good one. And let's see, I'm talking about the Thoroughbred Center here.
Oh, Horse Park today, United States Equestrian Federation Pony Trials. If you want to take your kids out, that's a nice one.
At the Horse Park today?
Yeah, it's nice. It's cooled off some. It's nice.
Yeah. Well, since last week's show, there have been 13 winners come out of the Thoroughbred Center here, and they were saddled by Brian Michael. Matt Frazier, a saddle quarter horse winner named Riding an Easy Street. Bert Edwards, Jack Jones, Akiko Gothard, Jesse Cardle. Mark Hubley saddled two on the same night, Tater Downs and Splinter Town down at Mountaineer Park. Mike Crowder, saddle winner. So did Robert Sturgeon, Bobby to everybody around here. Chuck Hamilton, William F. Hamilton, as everybody calls him, Chuck. Then Matt Frazier last night took another horse up to quarter horse up to Hoosier, and that one's name was Sixth Chill Coronas.
How cute!
The rest of you liked that one real well, and won again. That one was owned by, I think both of them were owned, bred by his or at least owned by his father, Dan Frazier, who's a neighbor of ours. He's got a farm over on Brentsville. Right around a corner from us down in Bourbon County. Nice people. Matt's a good horseman. Does extremely well with quarter horses because he's got some ammunition there. And give him some thoroughbreds and he'll do good with them too. He wins races with thoroughbreds, but he doesn't have the ammunition with that he does with
okay, we're on 1300 AM.
I think we got 2 minutes left. Is that
no, better? About a minute now. This is going to be up on UrsulaEllis.com. It's probably next Wednesday with all the other ones that haven't quite been.
I left off one winner last, Tommy Mills.
Oh, Tommy Mills. Sorry, Tommy.
Yeah, last night, and then Tommy brought us donuts.
Oh, my God. Say his name again. Tommy Mills.
Reggie's been over there stuffing full. Ressie, thank you. Ressie's the man in keeping us straight down here at the Clocker Stand. And Mary Jane's back in the studio. Mary Jane, thank you, too. Another superb job. Ask for a raise, and I'll recommend you. And we sign off now? Is it time to sign off?
I think so. As this thing stumbles to a halt.
As we stagger through this. I thought we had another minute left, but Mary Jane, you can fill it in anyway. We'll talk to everybody next week.